Rod Fuller, Dean Gustafson, Chris Moore, Hal Roach, and Archie Smith. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here today. We have one bill on the calendar. This is House Bill 898, House Redistricting Plan 2023. And I guess, Representative Hall, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'm going to give you a brief overview of how the House handled the State House Redistricting Plan, and I'll talk a bit about the specific groupings. In the House, we hired Ohio-based consultant Blake Springetti to draw the State House map for us. He had previously worked for the Ohio legislature, and he's got prior experience in redistricting in the state of Ohio. As I've said several times before in presenting this map, racial data was not used in the creation of the plan. No members in the State House plan who are running for re-election are double bunked. Incumbency was not considered, of course, for those members who have announced that they are either retiring from the House or running for another office. Nearly 90% of all the municipalities that are located within a county are kept whole under this plan, and many of the remaining municipal splits are due to precinct lines or involve small portions of municipal territory, which is often due to satellite annexation. Overall, the map splits only 6 VTDs. That's fewer splits than the current 2022 House plan that we're under. Overall, our overarching goal in construction of the House plan was to create Republican-leaning districts where possible, while avoiding double-bunking incumbent House members and following traditional redistricting principles. I'm going to go through the groupings now quickly. The first grouping, Currituck, Dare, Hyde, Terrell, Perquimus, Chewan, Washington, Beaufort, Pamlico. There we kept all the precincts whole. Only one county, Dare County, is split, and that's due to population requirements. The grouping is drawn to create two Republican-leaning House districts. Gates, Pasquotank, Campton, and Hertford, that's a county grouping itself and was not changed. Halifax, Warren, Northampton, it's a county grouping itself and was not changed. Edgecombe, Martin, Bertie, the district is a county grouping itself and it was not changed. Sampson and Bladen, the district is a county grouping and was not changed. Lenore, Green, and Jones, it's a county grouping and was not changed. The grouping of Pitt, it splits no precincts and it keeps the campus of East Carolina whole. The district's drawn to create a Republican-leaning House district in a southern or eastern part of Pitt County and one Democratic-leaning-based district in the northern and western part of Pitt County. Craven and Carteret, the grouping's drawn to create two Republican-leaning House districts. There's only one split precinct in this grouping, which is mathematically required and therefore unavoidable, and that's in Havelock. The grouping of Onslow and Pender, the grouping splits no precincts, is compact and is drawn to create three Republican-leaning House districts. Brunswick and New Hanover, the grouping splits only one precinct in Brunswick County. It draws one Wilmington-based district and three Republican-leaning districts, two of which are based in Brunswick County and one of which is based in northern New Hanover County. Columbus and Robeson, the grouping draws one Robeson County district and one Columbus County-based district. That includes some of northern and eastern Robeson County. It splits no precincts. Scotland and Hoke, it's a county grouping and was not changed. Duplin and Wayne, the grouping splits only one precinct and is reasonably visually compact. The grouping is drawn to create two Republican-leaning House districts. District 10 is northern Wayne County, extends southward. District 4 is Duplin County, extends upward into central Wayne. Wilson and Nash. Wilson County and Nash County are both almost exactly the right size for a district in terms of equal population requirements, but not quite. As such, one precinct from eastern Nash County balances the population for both. No precincts are split. In Cumberland, no precincts are split in the grouping. It's drawn to create three Democratic-leaning House districts, and the grouping is drawn to create one more rural Republican-leaning House district based in eastern Cumberland County. Harnett and Johnston, the draw was four Republican-leaning House districts with no split precincts. Franklin, Granville, and Vance, no split precincts. Grouping splits neither home county of either of the incumbent members. The grouping is drawn to create one Republican-leaning district based in Franklin County, as well as one more competitive district based in Granville County. Wake County, in that grouping, we've created two Republican-leaning districts, one in the southern end of Wake County and one in the northern part of Wake County. There's only one split precinct in the county, and no incumbents are double bunked. The districts are reasonably visually compact. The municipalities of Fuquay, Reno, Wendell, Knightdale, Holly Springs, as well as other smaller municipalities, have clearly defined districts that represent their interest in this plan, in our opinion. Durham in person, it's unchanged from the 2022 plan in accordance with member feedback from those districts. Orange and Caswell, the grouping was drawn to be reasonably visually compact with no split precincts. Alamance, the goal was to draw two reasonably visually compact Republican-leaning districts with no split precincts, and that's what's reflected in those two districts. Randolph, Chatham, Lemoore, and Richmond, in that grouping, the minimum number of counties are split and no precincts are split. The grouping is drawn to create four Republican-leaning House districts and is drawn to reflect one slightly competitive to Democratic-leaning district. The original draw had probably a pure toss-up, but in working with the minority leader, Representative Reeves, and in deference to him, I supported an amendment to Representative Reeves' district that made it a bit more Democratic, Democratic-leaning, that is. Group of Guilford, in Guilford County, we aim to draw two Republican districts based in the eastern and western portions of the county, split no precincts, and the districts are reasonably visually compact. In Rockingham, the district is a county grouping and was not changed. Forsyth and Stokes, it's drawn to create three Republican-leaning House districts with no split precincts and no members double bunked. Davidson, grouping was drawn to reflect two reasonably visually compact Republican districts. Yadkin, Davie, Rowan, and Cabarrus, the grouping splits only one precinct, which is in the Mount Pleasant area. Representative Kristen Baker has announced that she's not running for re-election to the State House, so her incumbency, of course, was not considered. The grouping is drawn to create Republican-leaning districts from all five districts of the grouping and complies with traditional redistricting principles. Grouping of Stanley and Montgomery, it's a self-containing grouping. The district is is just the grouping, and therefore it's unchanged. Surrey, Wilkes, and Alexander, it splits no precincts. The districts are reasonably visually compact. It's obviously a very Republican area of the state, and all those districts are lean Republican. Catawba and Iredell, same thing, no split precincts and four reasonably visually compact districts in a very Republican area of the state. Lincoln County is a grouping, and it's also one district itself, so obviously not changed. Union and Anson, grouping splits no precincts, includes three visually compact districts. The grouping was drawn to create three Republican-leaning House districts. In Mecklenburg, the grouping splits only one precinct. Representative Wesley Harris has announced that he's running for state treasurer, so his incumbency was not considered. The grouping was drawn to create two Republican-leaning districts in both the northern and southeastern ends of the county. Gaston, Cleveland, Rutherford, Polk, Henderson, McDowell, Yancey, Mitchell, Avery, splits no precincts, contains reasonably visually compact districts. It's drawn to create seven Republican-leaning House districts. Caldwell, Watauga, Ashe, and Allegheny, the grouping splits no precincts, and the districts are reasonably visually compact, and it creates drawn to create two Republican-leaning districts. Burke, the county grouping is a district, and of course it was not changed. Buncombe, the grouping splits no precincts and is drawn to create one Democratic-leaning House district based in Asheville, one Democratic-leaning House district based in the southern and eastern parts of Buncombe, and one Republican-leaning district based in the northern and western parts of the county. The three districts are reasonably visually compact. The district in Buncombe was amended in the House to keep Warren Wilson College whole in one of those districts, and that amendment passed. Haywood and Madison, that's the county, the district is a county grouping, was not changed. Swain, Jackson, Transylvania, the district is a county grouping and was not changed. Grouping of Macon, Clay, Cherokee, and Graham, the district is a county grouping and was not changed. And with that, Mr. Chairman, spoken to all the groupings, glad to stand for questions.
Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hall, I don't have a question. I just want to commend the House map drawers for a couple of things. Number one, your significant effort to not double bunk any of your incumbents, and also your efforts to reduce the splitting of precincts or VTDs, and I can only wish that our map drawers had taken the same approach. Thank you.
And I know it wasn't a question, Mr. Chairman, if I may, and I appreciate the lady's praise of the process, and I hope she'll vote yes for this map. But but I will note that the double bunking issue was a little bit easier for us in Cabarrus County, especially. Representative Kristen Baker retired, is not going to run again, so that helped us in a, what would otherwise be a tough situation. But thank you for the lady's comments.
And we'd just remind the committee the stat packs are available on the website, but they were 90 pages long, so we just didn't print those today. Senator Perry.
Mr. Chairman, I move for a favorable report.
All right, so have a motion pending before the committee. Senator Marcus.
Yeah, I had a few questions and comments, if I could.
Yeah, you're recognized.
I think my first question is that I was surprised, I think many others were as well, that the house maps were redrawn at all, given that this was done just last year. And we have some mic something going on with mics. Somebody else is on. No? Just mine.
Here.
Given that the house maps were just drawn last year, there was no court that required, you know, you to change them. I think that's the rationale for why the Senate maps were redrawn, that they didn't like that the courts forced them to make them change them in any way. We know why the congressional maps were redrawn. So could you explain to me and anyone else who's wondering, why are these house maps even being redrawn again at this point?
Yeah, I'm glad to do that. So, of course, I was here when we redrew them last time around. And the only reason that we were redrawing those maps then was because of an erroneous court opinion that had no basis in the Constitution. Of course, our state Constitution says nothing at all about using politics in redistricting. What little bit the Constitution does say about redistricting, it says it's this body's job to draw the districts. And of course, our state Supreme Court in 2021 took that out of the hands of the legislature and essentially told us that we had to use certain rules that the Constitution does not support. So they tied our hands. And so the districts that were ultimately drawn were drawn using a law that really didn't exist. It was used creating principles that are not in the Constitution. And even when we passed that map at the time, you know, we understood, I certainly disagreed with the opinion of the Supreme Court at that time and hoped that in the future that wrong would be rectified. Thankfully, it ended up being rectified, and the Supreme Court then made clear what I've always really thought the law to be, and that is that it's this body's job and duty to create these districts without those artificial constraints that were made up by the Supreme Court in 2021.
Follow up. Thank you for that explanation and your understanding of the law. Could you be more specific about which law, which rules, or I think you said made up constraints were in place last time that you felt free to reject this time? Which part of those are no longer apply when you drew this map?
Yeah, so obviously it's the part dealing with some notion that because a statewide a candidate or statewide electorate votes one way or the other, or if you total up all the state house and state senate districts, and if somehow that is a 50-50 split, that somehow the districts must be drawn in line with that same math. And there's a number of different tests that one could use. And you'd have to actually ask some of the Supreme Court justices who wrote it, because it appeared they didn't really understand what the standard was, because it continued to change. As my friends in the Senate found out when you went back to have your map tested, I believe your map was drawn literally based on what the Supreme Court said at the time. But like Calvin Ball, the rules always change essentially to support the Democratic Party at that point at the Supreme Court, and we're thankful we're past that. So the rules that we had to draw under essentially said we had to draw enough a certain minimum threshold of Democratic seats in North Carolina for it to be constitutional. Now, I've read the state constitution. I don't see anywhere in there where it says a certain number of Democrats have to be elected. So Essentially, that's the portion that we didn't use this time around. We didn't draw this with an eye towards a European parliamentary system where just because a statewide vote share may take place, that you have to have something close to that in terms of the seats across this state. And if you think about it, that really makes sense in this state, where Democrats don't compete in almost three-fourths of the counties of this state. And while that may be a good strategy for a statewide race, it's a very poor strategy for a race in districts across our state when, yes, roughly half or so maybe live in urban areas of the state, but also half live in more urban, or rather rural or more suburban areas of the state. And so because of that, the natural political geography of North Carolina doesn't fit the idea that somehow because statewide candidates get something close to 50-50 that legislative candidates should as well.
Thank you, Representative Hall. Senator Marks, do you have additional questions?
Yes, please.
You're recognized.
Thank you. That was a long explanation. I guess what I heard is that you don't believe that that you have to draw districts that would allow the election to reflect the electorate. And I guess I just fundamentally disagree with that, at least if we're going to have a democracy. But I don't know that that's a question, but I am wondering what you think, if it concerns you at all that North Carolinians expect redistricting to happen once every 10 years when there's a new census, and not based on changes in who makes up the North Carolina Supreme Court and based on politics. And I'm wondering if you can address our, I thought, requirement that this happen, these redistricting maps happen only once a century, decades, thank you, once a decade, and not at your whim, the House committee seems to have been doing here.
I believe the representative answered that question, but it's up to you if you want
to. I'm glad to, Mr. Chairman. I think the people of North Carolina do care about this particular issue. And that's why I think they overwhelmingly elected Republicans to the state Supreme Court and gave the Republicans an overwhelming majority because they wanted the wrong to be rectified. And I think your understanding of my prior comments, I would not agree with. I think these maps are responsive to the electorate. And I explained why in my prior statements a moment ago, so I won't repeat those things, but glad to stand for questions.
My last question is about the Mecklenburg County cluster, if I may.
You're recognized.
I would repeat my colleagues' note that you have, despite the fact that incumbents in Mecklenburg County and the House live quite close to each other, you were able to not double bunk anyone, and I think that is showing that you stuck to that criteria that was set out as not trying to use gerrymandering to decide for the voters who gets to stay and who gets to go. So good job on that. I am interested in this House District 105, which seems to be very similar in shape to what was Senate District 42 on the new map that the Senate passed yesterday. And I'm wondering if you're willing to explain to us why that Senate District 42 is shaped in that sort of odd way, crossing Providence Road and going up to grab a couple of country clubs up there at the tip. Are you willing to explain why it looks like that?
Is lady asking me about the Senate district or the House district?
The House district. That looks like the Senate District 42, but yeah, your House District 105.
Okay. Sure.
Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, and I don't have a paper copy. I'm looking at it here on the computer screen. So the first thing I would say as to the double bunking, the job of the House map makers was a bit easier than my colleagues in the Senate because in Mecklenburg, we have a retirement as well in Northern Mecklenburg. Thank you. We have John Bradford, of course, who is running for state treasurer, who is in District 98 in North Meck. That creates a vacant seat, of course, and so it makes things a bit easier when you're trying not to double bunk members, so we were able to accomplish that. 105, the To the extent there is any weird shape there, it's largely because of the precincts being the shape that they are. When you go in and look at the actual precincts in that part of the county, they're often oddly shaped. Among other traditional redistricting principles, it was drawn to create a Republican-leaning district in House District 105.
One follow-up.
Final follow-up.
You mentioned the fact that John Bradford's retiring up there in North MEC as somehow making it easier for you to not double bunk currently elected members in Mecklenburg. He doesn't live anywhere near any of the other incumbents, does he? I mean, is that really the reason why you were able to avoid double bunks? Isn't it really more down in that other part of Mecklenburg where they live closer? And I don't see how John Bradford not running again has anything to do with your ability to not double bunk. Can you explain that some more?
The committee will take the Representative Hall at his word, but if you want to answer the question.
Yeah, I think it's also just a matter of where members live. You know, obviously for us, there's not hiding the ball here. I mean, Tricia Cotham is a Republican. If somehow someone lived next to her, they would, that is a Democratic member, they likely would have been double bunked. But because where she lives, that was not required in order to create a Republican leaning district, really. I saw no reason to do those things. And I'll also say we have a number of House members who are Democrats in the House who we're often able to work with in good faith, who disagree with us strongly at times and don't make things personal. They don't go online and make things personal to others. And so, you know, where we can, this is a relationship body up here. And where we can, no matter, at least on the House side, and can't speak for you all, but I know we always try to work with our Democratic colleagues where we can. There's a number of them who we can't work with, and you can Google those things and see how much those members get accomplished in the State House. But for those members who are here in both parties, who are here in good faith to get legislation passed and not to get retweets, we often work with them. I think that probably has something to do with our lack of double bunkings as well.
Thank you, Representative Hall, for your presentation. We have a motion before the committee. Senator Perry moves for a favorable report as to House Bill 898. All in favor of that motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it, and the bill passes. Thank you, Representative Hall.